Welcome to Scholars and Dollars with H&M. This is Miss H checking in. I'm excited to be here because we have a lot going on and a lot of information to share. On behalf of Miss M, I want to share the latest updates with the Pay Scholarship Academy, scholarship fairs coming up. We did have one scheduled for January 21st. That one has been postponed. That was that in-person one. Due to a lot of different things. Of course, we know we're having some spikes in COVID, but then also just some logistics concerns. So we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to register for the virtual sessions we have coming up. There are two coming up. One's January 28th and one's March the 4th. You can register online at payscholarshipacademy.com. And when you do that, keep in mind that there's a scholarship associated with those particular fairs. If you're interested in applying for the scholarship, they're $500. There's opportunities to learn to win laptops as well, laptops and printers, which of course are definitely helpful. But if you want to go ahead and register for those, do that. We'll have all these scholarships and colleges represented at the virtual fairs. I will be presenting at the virtual fairs as well. Again, that's January 28th and March the 4th from 10 to 2. You must be registered, and there'll be a link provided. People have attacked this in different ways. They've signed up for both. They've signed multiple people up in different houses for those so you can have different computers going, however you want to do it. But keep in mind that the proceeds from the events go toward the $500 scholarships, which are available to anybody from 7th to 12th grade. So make sure that you check that out. You can submit an application to one for each event, so you can apply for a scholarship twice. But $500, like I said in several episodes before, it can definitely help out, definitely adds up. But with what's going on right now, middle of January, we're trying to get ready for more acceptances to come out. We have a lot of students who are kind of waiting and playing that waiting game, like we talked about before, when we're waiting on colleges to get back to them, or different, scholarships in all these, new updated grades that are coming through. So make sure your counselors are updating your Common Apps with your mid-year transcripts. Those students who've come back from break and they finished their exams and their grades aren't final, wait until you get the final transcript or updated GPA to submit those. We've gotten some questions about students coming in and asking about their transcripts and seeing if, they should submit them. If not much has changed in your transcript and you're looking to basically appeal an admissions decision or you haven't heard, I wouldn't worry too much about submitting that. Just make sure you are adding new information to that transcript or to that application. So you want to make sure that if you are writing colleges saying, I want to get a second look, that you have something else that they can look at. You don't want it to just be the same old, same old. So make sure that when you're doing that, some schools will accept recommendation letters and different information from outside sources. Sometimes people are like, I know somebody that's there. I want to make sure that they write on my behalf. That's happening too, but make sure for you personally, parents, as you're preparing to appeal some of those decisions, it could be wait list, it could be deferment, that you have updated information. So that might be taking the ACT or SAT again, or that might be an additional course that lifted the GPA. Or else, you can't expect the colleges to make the decision to be, right away. So as you're waiting, I know a lot of students are waiting for larger schools like South Carolina and Clemson here in South Carolina, but it's the same thing in other states. Just make sure that you have updated new information to add. So we wanted to basically share today on behalf of Ms. Ann, we talked a little bit about our parents and how important they have been in the process. A couple weeks ago or last week, she asked, parents to share information that would be beneficial to parents and just tips. And I want to share some of those with you because some of our parents have had the unique experience of having lots and lots of scholarship money to come through. But one of the things that came up over and over again in those messages was, know your school counselor, know who they are, know how to get in touch with them directly. and make sure that you, you know, keep those lines of communications open. Because when scholarships come up, and I'll say this as both of us are school counselors, I'll say this, you definitely want to have an opportunity to talk to your school counselor, because they're the ones who are going to be recommending you for scholarships, who are going to be writing those recommendation letters. So those of you who are 9th, 10th, 11th grade, use this opportunity to get to know the school counselor, to come in their office and ask those questions face-to-face, to share your interest, because sharing your interest can also help. I can speak from experience when we have someone come in and say, oh, we have a scholarship for teachers. I can call to mind people who want to be teachers. I can call to mind my students who want to be, you know, engineers. I can call to mind my students who are student athletes or who volunteer in the community and different things, those that, you know, come to see us and those who make time to do that. So we want to make sure that you are always, always taking advantage of opportunities you have to share information with those school counselors. If you have not updated your success resume, do that this month, because scholarships, I mean, it's high time. The spring is when the majority of those scholarships are going to come out, especially those smaller scholarships, the $500, $1,000, $2,000 scholarships that definitely add up. You want to make sure that you have an opportunity to get the best recommendations that you can. And a lot of times you don't know who who's going to be writing those letters. You want those letters to be written in a way that's supportive of the student and really give those scholarship committees something to get to know you from. One of our parents, Latasha Drain, her son is on a scholarship at Grambling University, and she shared, as your student gets scholarships, pay attention to the verbiage on those scholarships. That's been something that we've talked about a few times, but I want to remind people, some scholarships and some schools don't allow your student to receive a refund from the scholarship if other scholarships have already paid for tuition, room, and board. So there are colleges across the nation that if you have maximized your opportunities for scholarships, they don't refund the rest of the money. So always look and ask those financial aid departments, you know, can you get a refund check? I mean, if you got to think, colleges are businesses. We share that all the time on the show. Colleges are businesses. So if you've, you know, they got a scholarship, they're going to offer you $10,000 for having a 3.5 GPA and a certain ACT score. But then you receive state scholarship money. You receive grant money or other money to help pay. And then you could receive money coming in from your from the community. And then you notice that on your financial aid award that that $10,000 scholarship has been minimized to $3,000, right? Because the verbiage on that scholarship may say that, you know, that scholarship can't be the one to take you over. So keep that in mind. They a lot of times they mean to pay your balance and they won't give you that excess money. So do ask that question. One thing that she mentioned is anything that can be sent directly to the student is best. And some scholarship, you know, awards and scholarship committees will do that. So if you say, hey, that student is going to get excess money, so much excess that we're not sure if we're going to get it all back. Is there a way for this $500, $1,000 local scholarship to be written directly to the student? Or could you hold it until next year or next semester? However that works, you want to make sure that you maximize the opportunities to get the full ride, and then any excess money you want to have come back. Another person, look at schools where your student stands out in every way. So this young lady, not only were my daughter's stats well over the average of the schools she applied to, but she ended up with a full ride to an engineering school that was only 27% female. Many of those females were in the nursing program, so the engineering programs, you know, ratios were much lower. So that gave her an opportunity to get more scholarships, to get definitely admitted. And if you're thinking about where you fit, right, I was working with a student earlier today. Their GPA was low for a variety of reasons, but they're holding out for a particular school. And I share with that student, you know, where have you been, you know, where have you been applied? I asked that question first. Where have you applied? Where have you been admitted to? And she mentioned a few schools, and the school that she was waiting on, we got on the website and looked at the middle 50%. So it was important for us together to have that conversation like, well, your GPA is even below the average, the bottom level of that middle 50%. So, of course, 25% of those students are below that GPA when we're talking about middle 50%. But, you know, where are you going to fit? And as you're waiting, you know, how beneficial is it for you to hold out for this particular school when you've been admitted to other schools where you could be successful? They have your major and those things. So that's always great advice. We love to have people chime in. And that was from April Marin. Here's one. Don't rely on scholarships exclusively from your college. Outside scholarships can cover tuition just like, you know, anything else. So keep in mind, here they mentioned that outside scholarships cover more than 50% of their own students' college expenses. And so apply for those scholarships early and often. And we always harp on early and often. But keep in mind that, you know, it's not just, you know, a lot of people are waiting on their scholarships, like, from the university. It's like, well, I haven't heard back from my university. I want to see how much they give me before I start applying for scholarships. Definitely a wasted opportunity to get out there and be looking for those scholarships. Apply. Sally Tice says, think of applying for scholarships as a part-time job and it will pay off. And I'm sure Mrs. M is, you know, is a perfect example, and her children have known that it is a part-time job and it takes everyone to get involved. You want to have the stamps ready. You want to have the documents filled out. You want it to be neat. You want it to be orderly. You want to follow the instructions on the scholarship. And with that, the payoff comes off in the end. So full rides are definitely possible if you do that. We'll take a minute to check out a message from our sponsors.
You. Yes, you. Did you know you have the unique ability to positively impact a child for life? It's true. Becoming a licensed foster parent means your ability to make a life-changing difference in the life of a child is a certainty. Hi, we are Family Preservation Community Services, a private nonprofit foster care agency that works in both North and South Carolina to help children have loving and nurturing home environments. Do you have an extra bedroom? Do you have the patience to help mold and shape a child who may be a little shy and reserved due to past neglect, abuse, or other traumas? If you answered yes to any or all of the above questions and feel you are that somebody who has room in their hearts to foster a child, then please give us a call right away at 888-782-3424, extension 11 or 12, or visit the website. That's fpcscorp.com. We know becoming a foster parent is a deeply personal decision, so we greatly appreciate your consideration, and we can't wait to hear from you.
All right. Well, if you know anybody, big heart, big space, not even a big space, just enough space for a young person who could really benefit on that support, definitely check out our sponsors. We want to do everything we can to support, so make sure you follow the directions on that last ad. As we keep going, different advice that we've gotten in the past week from people who have made a difference, people who've gotten scholarships, and this is just proven information, not just because we say so, but people who have followed some of our advice and the advice of other consultants and adults that they work with. Make sure that you take advantage of the opportunity to follow and listen to some of this. Understand the advantage of pass and fail options. It said, you know, you could definitely see that some of the people were from all over the place, right? So pass fail doesn't hurt, but it also doesn't help. So you want to make sure that if you're taking advantage of those options, that, you know, you understand what the pass grade means. At our school, we have the NP, that's not passing. That doesn't look too good on transcripts, right? So even though that doesn't hurt the GPA, you want to make sure that anything that you're taking is going to look good on that transcript. So keep that in mind. Another thing that we also had students to share, keeping a notebook, keeping a calendar, making sure that you use essays more than once and that you are following directions clearly. With that goes with a little bit of assistance from the parent, guardian, whoever's helping out, get in groups. We have people who work in groups together on scholarships. Make sure you take advantage of that. But when you're writing those essays, definitely get, you know, follow-up information. Definitely get reviews from your English teachers. I might look at it differently from an English teacher or your parent who also knows your voice, right? I said in an episode a while back, keep in mind, you never know who's reading your scholarship essay or your admissions essay. So you want to steer clear of things that people would have to know you personally to understand. So that might be your dry sense of humor, or that may be your cynical nature that may not come across in the writing. So you want to make sure it's clear and that you're using that time to let them know that you understand the question, that you're sharing the question, and you follow the instructions. I had a student email me the requirement for the essay was 750 words. She got to 493 and sent that to me and said, I think this is enough. Well, it could be enough if the essay didn't require 750 to 1,000 words. So it's not. And you don't want to have spent that time writing these essays just for them to be thrown by the wayside. You want to make sure that you are using this opportunity to get those scholarships to people. And when you're getting them to those people, yet you are following their instructions. Make sure that you also are writing clearly. I always recommend people use black ink, but sometimes people are choosing blue. You know, back in the day, you might have a, you know, old school typewriter laying around, or you might be able to fill in one of those PDF scripts. I recommend that students do that, because I know that so many of them in general, and now they're writing like they text. So, you know, they're starting sentences with lowercase letters and those things. So take advantage of typing when at all possible. There are some scholarships that require you to handwrite, and I think they do that on purpose to make sure that, to see where students are with their writing and script. It doesn't have to be in cursive, but you definitely want to make sure that you're writing legibly. There are some students that's shared, you know, I learned so much this past year. This is from Azaria Cherry. My biggest thing that I always tell friends or people that ask is attending school debt-free is possible. Attending at HBCU for free is possible. Last year, I literally applied for scholarships like it was a full-time job. Was it tiring? Yes. Was it draining? Absolutely. But most importantly, was it worth it? Yes. By the time I finished off my senior year, I was only a little over $4,000 short to pay for all 4 years at Spelman. Ultimately, I received a full-ride scholarship and no longer needed the outside scholarships, but I felt good knowing that I was going to be able to go to my dream school and not drown in debt upon graduating. Another thing that's huge is many colleges are not focusing only on GPAs anymore. It's important, but I think it's even more important to be a well-rounded student. So get out there and find something you're passionate about and volunteer while you can. Lastly, try doing your very best on your ACTs. Colleges say they aren't requiring them anymore, but I can't name one college that I applied to last year that didn't require them for honors or merit scholarships. And we share that information from her. That was a post that she left on, you know, our question about advice for students. But, you know, ACT or SAT, what's happening is it is optional, right? And a lot of schools are saying it's optional for admission. It is optional for admission. And a lot of students are getting into schools without using their ACT or SAT scores. I could think of at least 10 that I know have gotten into school they want to go to with solid GPAs above 4.0 and not submitting that SAT or ACT score. But the barrier they reached was, you know, how are we going to apply for these scholarships? And some of those merit-based scholarships, a lot, even as the poster said, went back asking for ACT or SAT scores. So keep that in mind. I'm not sure how long things are going to be test optional, but there are different resources, and you know, out there to improve your scores. Make sure you take advantage of those, particularly those of you who are 9th and 10th grade. Go ahead and start preparing for the ACT and SAT. ACT and SAT, there's free options. College Board has free things with Khan Academy. Make sure you take advantage of those. There's more advice under the Pace Scholarship Academy deal. I mean, just like this lady, Lizzie Bev, says, take the ACT as many times as possible and take the prep classes. You know, she recommends that, you know, spending a few hundred dollars for an ACT prep class can save you tuition costs. It says, I spent $400 on my daughter's ACT prep class, which increased her score from 26 to 30. And that was a difference between $7,300 a year and then full tuition scholarship. So there are several Valencia Bell. We mention schools all the time. And, you know, there are ways to get this done. And they track, and they're using, you know, statistics to help. You know, ACT and SAT is a standardized test. So if you're not doing anything in between the times you take the test, there's no need to take the test. I always tell students, you know, their parents are signing them up for, you know, they sign up for November, then they sign up for February, then they sign up for April. But then, when I ask the question, what are you doing in between those times where you're taking the scholarship, taking the test, they aren't able to really tell me that they've done anything different. So make sure that when you are signing up to take these tests, and you're getting ready for the ACT or SAT, that you are doing some prep work yourself. Also remember that, you know, the ACT is going to be different than the SAT, right? They're not interchangeable. The SAT is going to give us a different look, right? Just math and verbal. So I always tell students who are really strong in math to consider taking the SAT, because 50% of that test is going to be math. So you don't have to worry about the extra, like the science and those things from the ACT. The ACT, of course, is blocked into four sections, and schools are now starting to superscore the ACT and SAT. So keep that in mind, so that way, you know, you can make the best. Now, there are schools that don't superscore for scholarship purposes, and you want to make sure you're ahead of that. So definitely know who's going to be doing what, so that you have an opportunity to maximize your scores and opportunities. As we go into the spring, looking at early January, there's lots of scholarships that are open and available right now. You want to make sure that you are prepared and that you have your updated transcript on deck. You want to make sure that you have your students' essays ready and prepped and previewed and reviewed by those teachers. You want to give your recommenders time. You want to give your recommenders time for sure to give you a good recommendation letter. I can't express enough how difficult it is to write a quick recommendation letter and then still want those students to receive the best opportunities, those scholarships. So you definitely don't want them to have to rush. You don't want the scholarship committee to miss out on an opportunity to give you money. So definitely look at that as we go into January. There's lots of scholarships. I'll share a few of those before I get out of here. As you go into next month, make sure you're looking at the scholarships that are due. So there's scholarships all across the board that are available. Foot Locker Scholarship for scholar athletes. Scholarships available. All you have to have is a 3.0 and some work in the community. There's a couple more things there because it's a substantial amount, but that's due January 30th. So hop on that. If you know any scholar athletes, you don't have to be the best player on the team to get these scholarships. Keep that in mind. I mean, we had the Heisman Scholarship a couple months ago. It went to cheerleaders. It went to soccer players. Make sure you take advantage of that. And that's for, you know, students all across the country. There are some scholarships that are unique to South Carolina, especially when you're looking at the Wildlife Memorial Scholarship and a lot of scholarships for students who are interested in staying in the state and studying certain fields. That's the Wallace F. Pate Scholarship. We'll be posting those things. I'll have them added down in the description. Looking at going forward, there's a Public Spirit Scholarship. That's due January 31st. Daughters of the American Revolution is also due the 31st. As we move into February, if you're in the state of South Carolina and you know a student or you are a student who's lost a parent, that deadline is February 1st, and that scholarship is renewable. My little cousin got that scholarship, and he used it. He's using it right now at Temple University. I think he gets $4,000 a year. And there's a good community of scholars who received the Burns Scholarship, and they look out for each other there. A lot of the banks, like South Carolina Federal, Regions, those scholarships are going to be due in February, so take a look at those. For students who are interested in engineering, keep an eye out for all those STEM scholarships. There are scholarships associated with where you work, just like how with Burger King and McDonald's. KFC has a REACH educational grant for people who worked at KFC. That's Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's due February 28th. There's a mental health reform scholarship for students, it's a longer essay, but it explains your opinion on mental health in the United States and whether you believe the mental health system is in need of reform. As school counselor, here's a hint, it is. But if you're interested in writing, if you want to go into psychology or you think you want to be a counselor long term, that may be a good essay for you to write. And that one is due February the 28th. Going forward, keep in mind that these community foundations here in South Carolina, particularly in our region, we have the Central Carolina Community Foundation, and that is one application for several scholarships. And what those community foundations do is help you fill out an application online, and then it distributes your information to all over if you meet those qualifications. For example, if you are interested in education and they have scholarships that have been donated in to those foundations for those people in education, then you will become go in the running for those scholarships. So keep those in mind. If you're in the PD area of South Carolina, the Eastern Federal Foundation has those scholarships. Eastern Federal Community Foundation has those scholarships as well. The Meeting Street Scholarship is local to South Carolina, and their information is going to be out as you go forward. There's $10,000 out there for students who meet qualifications for Pell Grant. If you receive the Pell Grant, then you have $10,000 that you can receive. You can have added to your scholarships from Dollar More and the Meeting Street Foundation. That's for universities that are listed on their website. It's a pretty easy website. And if you're not sure if you qualify for that, you can just go to the Meeting Street website. Keep in mind that going forward, we'll be wrapping up our deadlines. We'll be getting ready for our virtual fairs that are coming up. Remember, we have one January 28th and we have one March the 4th. And there's scholarships associated with that. So make sure you hop on PayScholarshipAcademy.com so that you can apply for those scholarships. We look forward to working with you the rest of this semester, and we hope to see you soon.